Well, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2. And we'll begin in verse number 11 and we'll read down to verse number 20. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust and which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Father, we pray again that you would bless us and help us as we look into your word. We pray that you would allow us to see something that we could use in our lives and use it to change us to be better folks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to preach to you on this subject, living a submissive life. So far, Peter has begun to deal with the Jews that are scattered abroad about their outward struggles and trials. At this point, he seems to turn inside to speak about matters of the heart, matters of submission. He understands that they're going through these struggles and trials, but he also knows that those struggles has weakened them to the attacks of Satan. And so we want to live a submissive life. That's what God would have for us. And so first, I want you to see that part of living a submissive life is living in submission to God. Now that's a pretty simple, straightforward thing. If we're going to live a submissive life, the first person we should be submissive to is God. Amen? And we ought to be doing what he wants us to do. And Peter makes this statement and telling us of our need to do this. He says, "Abstain from fleshly lust." Now, like I said, what Peter had begun to talk to them about was outward struggles, outward trials, outward difficulties. And now he's turning it inward. Why? Because when we face trials and tribulation, when we face difficulties and difficult circumstances, it drains on us. How many of you have gone through difficult circumstances? Could be a death of a loved one, could be finances, could be jobs, could be anything in your life that's not going exactly as you would like it to or as you planned. And what happens is that you begin to get bogged down. You begin to get discouraged, and you have some difficulties maybe communicating with your spouses, and it just weighs on you sometimes emotionally. And what does it do? It weakens you. And so they're going through all these struggles and all these trials and all these difficulties that they're facing. And Peter's coming along telling them that they have a lively hope, that they're a peculiar people, that God has their best interest at heart. And he says, and hey, in the midst of all this, in the midst of all this, abstain from fleshly lust. He says, hey, I know you're getting weak. I know you're getting tired. I know it's difficult, but don't use that to say, well, I might as well give up and turn to fleshly lust, to the things that of the world, to the things that we would desire, or to the things that we think will make it better. So many times we're guilty of turning to something else or someone else to make things better when it is God that we need to hear from and God that we need to go to. And when we're down, and when we're down, and when we're discouraged, and when we're weak, and when we face on top of all the trials and circumstances that we're facing that are difficult, when we face temptation to turn to someone else or something else to fix the problem, we make things worse. And Peter's like, hey, I know you're going through a difficult time. I know you're facing some difficult circumstances, but don't make it worse by going to the world for the answers. He says, abstain from fleshly lust. Don't give in to temptation because you're facing difficult circumstances. It's easy for us sometimes if we're weak and we think something will make us better. And sometimes we don't think that it will make the circumstances better, but it'll make us feel better. Yeah. You know, most people, when they're going to do something dumb, they know that it's not going to fix the problem that they're facing or the difficult circumstances that they're dealing with. Someone that is a drunkard and has been, but say they've been clean for 2 years and now they're going through all these problems, what happens when somebody who used to be a drunkard and who's now clean for 2 years and they start going through financial problems and job problems and all that, what is the tendency that someone thinks or a loved one might think in that situation? Don't go back, what? To the bottle, right? That's what Peter's saying. Don't in your weak state, don't go back to the fleshly lust, right? It's so easy to say, hey, I'm just going to go and I'm going to do this thing to make me feel better. Because that person's like, man, I know if I take this drink, I'll feel better for a little while. I know it won't fix my problem. I know it won't wipe my problems away. I know it won't. I know that nothing that I'm facing right now will be fixed by this, but it'll make me feel better. Peter says, abstain from fleshly lust. Don't give in your weak times. Peter continues to his explanation of why we must abstain from fleshly lust by saying, which war against the soul. Which war against the soul. Life's a constant battle. No matter how many times we tell our flesh no, and no matter how many times we reject the temptation Satan's puts in our way, he continues to war against us and attempts to make us fall. Peter did not want their weak spirits to give in to fleshly lust because of the seemingly unending battle with wrongdoing. Peter wanted them to maintain a pure testimony. Don't give in just because you're facing some problems. Those fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Hey, it seems like an unending battle, but can I encourage you this evening? It's not an unending battle. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. Jesus is going to come. And then all those problems, all those difficulties, all those circumstances will be gone. Health problems, gone. Financial problems, gone. Job problems, gone. Marital problems, gone. Everything that we think is just a detriment right now, when the Lord comes, it's all gone. It's all fixed. And so it's not an unending battle, even though it may seem that way. Peter said this also, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Conversation in the Word of God referred to a lifestyle, not an exchanging of thoughts with someone else. He says that our lifestyles should be honest before the Gentiles. Of course, the Gentiles to the Jew represented the worldly, the carnal, the unsaved man that still had fleshly desires. And Peter explains to them that what kind of reputation they should maintain before these lost souls. And we too should have an honest reputation with unsaved people in our lives. And so when we face difficult circumstances, we must remain we must continue to live a submissive life to God. Amen. And if we will, He'll bless us. And He'll take care of us through those difficult and dark days. Right. Amen. He will. Peter said, They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. When we maintain a pure testimony before people, then people will glorify God. If we maintain a pure testimony and submit to God, then we can more effectively reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When our testimony is damaged, then it decreases our effectiveness to minister to God's people and to the community around us. Hey, when we're facing difficult circumstances and we give up on God, what does that tell every unsaved person around us? You can't count on Him. But when you submit to Him, even in difficult circumstances, when you submit to God, when you abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul, friend, by your good works, the Bible says that the unsaved look in and see God and glorify God in your life. Amen. Amen. So don't give up. Stay submissive to God. Continue to live a submissive life to God. So we're living a submissive life to God. Secondly, we're living a submissive life to government. And I know that we don't always like to do that. But the Bible says in verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Notice it doesn't say, because it's good, because it will always be in your favor. It says, for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You're to submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. There are some times that we have laws that we don't like. Huh? But he says, submit to them. But not so that you can be a good citizen. Notice, the Bible never teaches us to be good citizens. Now it does, but it has nothing to do with just being the good old boy down the street. It has to do with for the Lord's sake. It has to do with maintaining. Hey, when you're submissive to God, you maintain your pure testimony, your pure reputation before men. When you are submissive to government, you maintain God's testimony before others, because what you're doing is you're saying, I'm a child of God, and as you live in accordance with the ordinances of men, then you're saying, I'm a child of God who obeys the laws of the land. And what that does is it continues to bring glory and honor to you, to God. For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. The Bible says you're bought with a price. You're no longer able to live for yourself. You're to live for the Lord. You're to live for the Lord. And he says to obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, we all know that you have to compare Scripture with Scripture. Right? So when the government comes and tells you to do something that is unconscionable, you don't do it. Okay? For instance, you have governments in other countries that go and they get children, and they get children involved in wars and tell them to kill other people in an unjust war, things of that sort. And so there are times when a people has to stand up to a government and say, we're not doing that. That's unconscionable. And you can go to other passages of scriptures and find that and interconnect that. But we're not talking about an unconscionable law. We're just talking about a law that maybe is made and you don't like it. Or you don't think it should be. Well, vote somebody in that's going to vote a different way, but you can't go and disobey the law because you don't like it. You see, there are avenues that God provides for the people of God to do things like that, but it doesn't mean that we can just say, well, I'm not going to do it because I don't believe in it. Hey, there's some things going down in Virginia that's completely unconstitutional. It's against our own U.S. Constitution, and there are people that are fighting it down there, and rightfully so. But in the meantime, they're going to have to follow some laws, I think, that they don't necessarily agree with for the Lord's sake. Not because we just want to be the good old boy down the street, but because we want to honor the Lord. And so he says there, he says to do that. And look what he says in verse 15, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." So in other words, again, here he's pointing out again that because you're the servant of God, that you need to be submitting to the laws of the land, right? And by doing right, even if the law is against you, even if sometimes, you know, there's laws that are skewed towards one person or another, and it causes injustice for a group of people, still to obey that law. Because you're servants of God. You're servants of God. "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Boy, it's just completely against our nature, right? When we think we've been wrong, we just want to rise up and fight. And there's times when the things are unconscionable and you do that, but not just for a law you don't like. So we have submission to God. We have submission to government. Thirdly, we have submission to employers. Verse number 18. "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward." Now, we understand servants and masters. We don't use that language today, but we would call that the employer-employee relationship these days. The Bible says that you to serve them with all fear. That's reverence. That's respect. You're supposed to give them respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but what? But also to the forward. To the one who you just want to smash.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever wanted to do that to an employer, have you?
No.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's easy to do well for an employer that treats you well, the good and the gentle.
Right.
It's kind of like when Jesus said, "Hey, love your enemies," because if you love your family, I mean, what are you doing that an unsaved person doesn't do? I mean, if you love your kids, well, everybody loves their kids, right? So, you haven't gained much. But if you love your enemies, that's something that people stop and say, man, how do they do that? Well, easy to be nice and work hard for an employer that's good to you. One that's forward, one that's harsh, one that's mean. Not so not so easy, is it? No. To do that. But nevertheless, God says to do it. Be subject to employers, good and bad. The ones we like and the ones we want to smash. In our flesh, we just want to go up and just knock them in the mouth. Tell them, shut up and don't tell me what to do. Right? But God says, be submissive to those, as well as the ones that are good to you. Now, in this day and age, if you get a good boss, if you get one that takes good care of you, you might want to be real good for him and work real good for him especially. Because they're becoming less and less to get. But God says even if they're forward, you ought to. I know, so many things we don't want to do, huh? See, living a submissive life is not the easiest thing. Especially when we get 18 and we can do whatever we want. It's just, we think it's going to be easy because then we can make the decisions and we can make the calls. And then we grow up and we find out we still got to pay a certain guy rent on time. And we still got to pay an electric bill. And we still got to pay a gas bill. Which means, you know what? That means we've got to depend upon somebody to give us a job. Just like we depended on our parents to pay for our room and pay for our heat, pay for our water when we were subject to their rules. We got to be subject to somebody else's rules so we can get a paycheck and pay all the bills that we're supposed to pay and obey all our other bosses. We find out, when I'm 18, and we find out when we're 18, it's a whole lot, in some ways, it's a whole lot harder than back when we just let mom and dad pay the bills. It's a little bit more than that. So we're supposed to be subject to employers, good and bad. Suffering wrong at their hands and still doing well is the acceptable thing to do. What does he say? For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. God says it's a thankworthy thing that if you, because you're a servant of God, not just because you're a carpet that anybody can walk on. That's not what God is saying. God's not saying, hey, do this just because I want to sit up here and laugh at you get stomped on by somebody else. That's not what, he said it is a thankworthy thing when a person does good, has a good conscience toward God and wants to please God, and so he does these things. I want to please God. So you see here, the whole idea of submission here is submitting to God, submitting to government, and submitting to employers. But all of it is in order that we might be in submission to God. All of it is that we might be a good servant of the Lord. All of it is that we might be thankworthy and acceptable before God. Look in verse 20. The Bible says, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. He said, it's easy to take bad stuff from the employer when you've done something wrong. When you mess up at work and the boss calls you in and flips out on you, you're like, okay, I deserve that. Right? But when we do it, when we suffer having done well, having done our job right, how dare he? I did my job right. But the Bible says that when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Now, it's not acceptable that they treat you harshly. It's acceptable that you rise above it and still submit. What is it showing? It is showing when we do all of these things, when we're submissive to God, when we don't let the circumstances of life get us down so far and so weak that we get into fleshly lust and ruin our reputation, when we are submissive to a government that might even be oppressive, and when we are submissive to employers that don't necessarily treat us right, all of this points people back to the glory of God. I'm not doing this so I can be a carpet you can walk on. I'm not doing this so I can be the good old boy down the street. I'm not doing this so that I can be holier than thou. I am doing this that I might be acceptable unto God, and that you might see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. And that's exactly what Jesus said. I'm living so that people will look at my works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. And really, that's all that this is talking about. It's talking about living a submissive life in a way that allows people to see that you're a servant of God, serving Him acceptably, and that they can then in turn glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. But you know what it requires? Requires for us to live a submissive life even when we don't want to. It requires us to take some hits that we don't deserve. All so that we can show that we're bought with a price. That we're not our own. That we don't live to defend ourselves, but we let God speak for us. And boy, it's a life so opposite human nature. But can I tell you that living for God is all about going against what other people expect from you and doing that which God expects from you. Look, the world tells you look out for number one, and that's you. And Jesus said that you must deny yourself if you're going to be a follower of Him. If you're going to be a disciple, I'm going to have to deny myself. Hey, when those difficult circumstances start bearing down on you and you think it's easier to go back to the lustly flesh of the world, don't do it. Deny yourself so that you can be a follower of God. When the government is oppressive, obey and let your Father be glorified in you. When your employer doesn't treat you right, do right anyway. Keep doing your job. Somebody's going to glorify God because of it. And your submissive life is going to point other people to the Lord. And it's going to be a life of submission, and it's going to be a life of denying yourself, but that's what the Christian life is all about.
Amen.
Being selfless, not selfish. Denying yourself, not defending yourself. And boy, it's hard. But can I tell you that what the Bible tells us here is that it's worth it. The Bible says it's acceptable to God. It's thankworthy. When we are being oppressed and we live above the oppression and we live a life with a good reputation toward God, when we are being mistreated at work and we rise above the mistreatment and we live as God wants us to live, other people glorify God. It is a thankworthy and acceptable way to live according to God. And you know what? In the end, there's going to become a day where you probably won't work for that boss. And that boss won't even remember you. But if you've lived thankworthy and you lived a life that's acceptable to Him, if you've lived a life of submission like you should, you may not even remember the boss. The boss may never remember you. But the Heavenly Father will remember how you lived thankworthy and acceptable because of your conscience towards Him. And He will bless you. Now, He may not bless you how you want to be blessed. That's the difficult part. He may not give you $1 million or give you the best job in the world or give you the promotion you wanted. But He'll give you a joyful life filled with His peace and His comfort that you're doing exactly what He wants you to do. Now, that's not all the Bible says about living a submissive life. But we're going to talk about the next few verses in a couple of different sermons. But living a submissive life is first living in submission to God, living in submission to the government, even when it's oppressive, and living in submission to your employer, even when he doesn't treat you right. And it's not fun, and it's not exciting, but it is acceptable unto God. It is acceptable unto God. It is a thankworthy thing to do as a servant of the living God. Father, we thank you for your many blessings, and we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be the kind of people that you want us to be, to live the life of submission, that we might allow others to see God in us and glorify you. Not that we might be the good old boy down the street or a good citizen, but that we might glorify you in the life that we lived. And we pray, God, that you'd help us to live the life of submission that you call us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.